You're listening to the Modern Professional Podcast. I'm your host, Lawyer Britt. I launched my firm using nothing but my laptop and social media, signing 100 clients in my first 100 days, proving that we can ditch boring and traditional to become successful modern professionals. I am so excited about this episode. Intake calls are one of my absolute favorite things to do. I still, as of right now, do all of my firm's intake calls. It's a lot, but I love doing intake calls. I love these sales calls because that's what they are. They're sales calls, but we'll get into that in a bit. I've probably held on to doing our firm's intake calls for far too long, and it's been difficult to give them up just because I love doing them so much. I have found a way that works really well for my industry, for me, and I enjoy it. I really do. I love explaining why we're different, what we offer. I'm so proud of our firm and this company, and I just want to serve as many people as possible. So I'm going to give you my 5 top tips for a tactical intake call. Tactical meaning strategic and successful. There's strategy behind it, and it works for you. It converts leads, I'm going to call them potential clients, in this episode into clients of your company, of your business, of your firm. Probably the most helpful tip is going to be number 5. So stay tuned till the end because that's probably the biggest mistake that I see professionals making, and I want to kind of rectify it and correct it in this episode. And while these tips can be used by any person doing an intake call for their company, I've kind of tailored it to professionals because professionals don't often get taught how to do these intake calls properly. And I think it's important that we correct that moving forward. Okay, let's dive in. My 5 top tips for a tactical intake call. Tip number 1 for a tactical intake call is to get positive responses. Honestly, I'm not sure where I got this psychology hack, but I know that I heard or read or learned somewhere that getting positive answers from a potential client when you're speaking with them, before asking for a close, before going for a, hey, do you want to move forward? You know, locking in that client. If you are getting positive answers throughout your intake call, throughout your sales call, that puts your potential client in a positive state of mind so that when you do go ask for the close, the answer feels better to them. It feels natural. It leads them right into a, oh, yes. So, again, don't ask me the details on how this works in the brain. I'm not a doctor. I'm a lawyer, but I've used this hundreds of times and I know it works. So for example, a lot of people have their pitch and they'll go through their pitch. Some people don't even have a pitch, but we'll get to that in a minute. People go through their pitch, explain what they do, why they're different. And then at the end, they say, do you have any questions? People usually say no, even if they do have questions, they'll say, oh, no, not really, but I was wondering, blah, 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 right? They're saying no. And if you're asking them things like, do you have any questions? And they're just saying, oh, no. You're kind of setting them up for that no answer. They've been saying no, no feels natural. What if you flipped that? Do you have any questions? What if you flip that to, does that make sense? Or have we covered everything you're concerned about? People usually say yes. Does that make sense? Yes. It's the same kind of psychology where they'll just say yes because that is, you know, they don't want to seem like it doesn't make sense. They don't want to seem like we haven't covered everything. People usually say yes, even if they have questions. I mean, I can't even tell you how many times I've been on the phone and have said, okay, does that make sense? People say, yeah, it does, but I have a question about, and you know, they'll lead into whatever their question is. So giving them the opportunity to say no, no, no over and over and not really get a word in otherwise is setting them up to give that negative response. So if they're just saying no, 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 if you go ahead and say, okay, you know, should I send you a contract? Do you want to move forward? Oh, well, I don't know. Let me think about it, blah, 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 right? But if you're saying, okay, does that make sense? Yeah, it makes sense. And then, you know, have we covered everything you were concerned about? Yeah, you know, we definitely did. Okay, great. Do you want to move forward? You know, yeah, I think I do. You see, that puts them in a different energetic state, puts them up. It's just setting them up to say yes. So first tip is to get positive responses. And I would recommend that next time you're doing an intake call, to listen to yourself as well as this potential client, but to listen to yourself and listen to what you're saying and see if there's any questions that you're asking or any statements that you're making that are inducing negative responses, just a no or not really. If you could flip those to get a positive response, usually you could flip it and still get the same answer, but have the answer be a more positive, more energetically aligned response. So try that out next time that you are doing an intake call. Listen to yourself. Can you flip anything around? Do you have questions instead? Does that make sense? Tip number two for a tactical intake call is to treat it like a sales call. This is probably the best tip. Well, I take that back. The last tip is going to be the best. But this is one of the best tips, right? Treat it like a sales call. Like I said in the beginning, a lot of professionals go to school, they're taught theory, they're taught how to represent clients. They're not taught how to get clients. They're not taught how to sell for whatever reason. I'm still unsure why that is. But in school, it's kind of assumed that you get your degree, you get your license, and then go out into the world and all of a sudden you have clients. There's like kind of a disconnect there where we're taught the theory and how to get through school. And then we're taught the theory and how to represent clients and how to practice our craft. But we're not taught that weird in between of how we're supposed to get clients. And there's a whole lot of reasons that I think that is the way it is, but we won't get into that in this podcast. But professionals are not usually salespeople. They're not taught to be salespeople. It might even be frowned upon by your profession. We're kind of taught that if we graduate, clients will come. But that's really not how it is. You have to sell yourself. You really do have to sell yourself. You have to explain why you're different. You have to tell this potential client what you offer and why they should choose you. They could call 100 other professionals. They could call 100 other lawyers, realtors, CPAs, adjusters for their same issue in your same area. And that person will ask the same qualifying questions, explain the same process, probably say a lot of the same things. We all do the same thing. We're all kind of stuck within the parameters of what our profession and our industry allows. So why should they choose you over another person? You have to explain why you're different, what you're offering, what your values are. That way your potential client can make a decision on whether or not you're right for them. And obviously I can't make any guarantees here, caveat, but I would almost guarantee that if you're going in depth as to what you offer, why you're different, what you value, and how you're trying to find clients that value the same thing, somebody who appreciates that message, who aligns with that message, who understands what you're offering, is going to be like, whoa, sign me up. Sign me up. At the end of that sales call, this intake call, they're going to say, this is who I need, because you are differentiating yourself so much. So treat it like a sales call. Sales calls have pitches, and we're going to go into a pitch in a second, but a pitch is literally just you explaining what you can offer, why you're different, and why they should choose you. And the pitch in your sales call, it doesn't have to be pushy. You don't have to be slimy. Bring the energy of, this is what I offer. This is why you should choose us, X, Y, and Z. And you have your values and what you offer and how you align with it. And if that person is feeling aligned with what you're offering, they're going to say, this is great. This is exactly what I need. And if they're not, that's actually a blessing. That is a great, great, great thing. If somebody listening to what you offer and say, that's not really what I am looking for, but I appreciate it. Great. Awesome. On to the next. You've only spent a few minutes on this person. Move on to the next. That's making room for more clients to come to you. I've always said that it's a good thing when somebody doesn't hire you, because if they don't see your value, then they should choose somebody else who aligns with what they need. For example, our firm offers very modern tactics. That's what my law firm offers. We market ourselves as a modern law firm using technology and efficiency to push cases and get things resolved. But if you're looking for the old attorney behind the wooden desk with a big bookcase behind him, then don't choose my firm, right? And if that's what somebody's looking for, I think they should go find that. I'm never upset if somebody wants that, because if they wanted that and then they signed up with my firm instead, they'd be dissatisfied that they're not getting the kind of service, the kind of person that they want to represent them. My firm would spend so much time trying to please this client and become something that we're not, which takes away energy from the clients that we're representing that are satisfied and happy with our services. Do you see how it's a good thing if you are very honest and open about what you bring to the table during your sales call? Somebody who wants that will choose you right away. Somebody who does not want that will choose somebody else. Either way, it's a win for you. Either you get a client or you're making room for more clients who actually want to work with you. So, tip number two for a tactical intake call is treat it like a sales call. Have your pitch, explain why you're different, make it very clear. That person will sign up with you if they're aligned with that. Okay, raise your hand if you hate awkward networking events. Yes, yes, me too. Archaic, outdated, and honestly not the best ROI. Now, raise your hand if you hate spending tons and tons of money on advertising or if you don't have any money to spend on it. Yep, I was also there. I bootstrapped my law firm with savings. No big marketing budget. What I did have was social media. I posted content on free social media platforms to build my company to $1.78 million in revenue in the first full year. This alone should be the light bulb in your head that gets you to take action to create content seriously so you can start your business or grow your business or even just grow a book of business. But I get it. You don't have time. Or you feel awkward and embarrassed to post or be on video. That's okay. I've been there too. That's why I'm hosting the Accelerated Content Workshop to show you how I finally got over myself to create and post a week of converting content in just 1 hour. Interested? I know you are. Head over to lawyerbritt.co/workshop to learn. That's lawyerbritt.co/workshop. Tip number three for a tactical intake call is to craft answers to a potential client's objections into your pitch. So I've already explained that the pitch is what you're saying to this potential client. A pitch is, you know, usually a few minutes long. It explains what you do, what you offer, why you're different, why they should choose you. But potential clients, leads, they always have objections. They always have objections. An objection is like a reason they're not diving in, a reason they're not saying yes right away. It's kind of like, hey, pump the brakes. I'm not sure yet because, and then they have objections. And objections are usually regarding money, time, or approach, right? Because none of us can really guarantee an outcome, but we can control things like money, how much we're going to be charging. They always want to know timeline. So, you know, how long is this going to take? What's my time investment here? And then the approach, how are you going to do this? So I've already explained previously that in the pitch, you're going to explain what you offer. So that kind of takes care of your approach. If there's specifics about the industry, if a lot of your clients are first timers in whatever you're offering, like for example, if you represent first time home buyers or first time litigants, you're going to want to craft into your pitch, hey, this is how this works. Here's how the beginning works, right? You're going to want to stick a little bit in there of this is how the process unfolds. For timing, obviously, none of us can ever make a guarantee for time other than how long it'll take us to do what we're in control of, right? But we can control things like how long a case takes or how long it takes for a house to sell or how long a claim takes to resolve or how long it takes to get tax documents from the government. We can't control those things. We can control our processes and procedures, and you can throw that into your pitch too. Can't control that. So don't make a guarantee on that end, but you can explain what the usual timelines are, how long it takes you and your team to do certain things. And then the last one, money. So people always have objections around the costs. So I urge you to add to your pitch your fees, why they're reasonable, and to also explain how your fee at the end of the day is going to be helping the client anyway. If you're somebody who works on a contingency, then you craft into your pitch, these are my fees, but I don't get paid until you are satisfied. I don't get paid until the case is resolved. I don't get paid until your house has sold. So we are in this together. Do you see how I'm kind of crafting these answers to these objections, how we're going to overcome these objections just into the pitch? You know your potential client's most common objections. You already know what they are. You've done intake calls before. You've gotten the same questions over and over and over. get to the question before they can even ask, before they even say, oh, well, and what's the fee or how long does this normally take? Just put it right into your pitch. You'll look much more knowledgeable if you just took the thought right out of their head. And I also recommend that you test out responses to objections with different people. So sometimes it's not one size fit all. Maybe it is. Maybe there is one way to phrase a part of the pitch, one way to phrase answers to your potential client's objections. Maybe one is best. Maybe there are a few. Maybe there are two or three ways you could phrase this answer to an objection in a pitch for different types of people, whether it's a family, someone who's single, a business person versus a layperson. There are many ways that you can sell yourself, and you have to figure out which way sounds best, which way is best suited to explain it to a certain potential client. Maybe there's one, maybe there's a few. Test them out. Test out your pitch, test out your answers to objections in several different sales calls and see what kind of works. And side note, you can overcome many, many, many objections by publishing content that connects with your ideal client. For example, if you know that a common objection is how much is my case worth or what's my house worth? How do I know how long it's going to take to do X? Put out videos, put out content on your social media channels that are already answering that question. If people see your content and then they call you to do an intake call, but they already know the answer to their own objection, and even if you add it into your pitch, it really looks like you know what you're talking about. And you've already overcome that objection. I can't even tell you how many times I have gotten calls from potential clients who have seen me on YouTube or Instagram or Facebook, and they say, I need to hire you. Here's what's going on. They barely even have any questions for me. They just want to tell me what's happened in their claim, and then they want to know, how do they sign up? What's the next step? My content's done a lot of the talking for me at that point. They already know that I'm an expert. They know how much time it takes. They've seen that I've gotten clients' results. So if you're not already, I really urge you to start putting out content that overcomes common questions and objections so that when potential clients are seeing that content and then contacting you afterwards, your content has already done a lot of the legwork for you. Tip number 4, match their energy. Every single conversation you have is either relationship-based or outcome-based. I'll say that again. Every conversation you have is either based on the relationship or based on the outcome of the conversation. Notice I didn't say the person. This is the conversation. Some people want to get to know you. Some people will open up a conversation to try to build a rapport, build up the relationship, figure out what kind of person you are, let you know what kind of person they are. That's relationship-based. That's a relationship-based conversation. Some people just want straight facts. They want to get to the meat and potatoes. They want to know why you're talking to them. They want to figure out what's the issue, what's the solution. Conversation over. You can have a conversation with somebody on Monday and it's really relationship-based, you know, kind of chit-chatting, saying, oh, you know, how was your weekend? How was that one thing? Oh, I know that you just got a promotion, blah, 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 right? That's kind of relationship-based. And then there's conversations that are outcome-based. You get on the phone and you call that person and it's immediately, hey, did you get what I sent you? Let's figure out this. What time are we going to do that? Outcome-based. And you can have a conversation that begins relationship-based and then gets into the outcome. But that's more of a relationship-based conversation. The reason I'm going through all of this is because if you tailor your approach to the conversation based on what that person wants, what your conversary partner wants, if you're thinking, okay, is this relationship-based or outcome-based, and you figure it out very early on, and you either, you know, chat with them or get right to the meat and potatoes and figure it out and get off, they're going to really appreciate that. Whatever kind of energy, whatever kind of mood they're in, whether they want to talk with you, build their rapport, or they just want to get right down to it, they're going to appreciate that so much each time you have a conversation with them. And it's going to go a long way, right? If they know that you will get on the phone with them and just get right to it instead of just always want to having a, you know, a whole long chat about your weekend every time, they're going to call you right away. Right? It really makes a difference. I've noticed this with talking to anybody, but especially with potential clients, if I get on the phone and someone immediately and I say, hey, hi, how are you doing? I'm, you know, attorney Brittany Alexander. Do you have a moment to talk? Some of them say, oh, yeah, you know, I do. You know, thanks for calling. How are you doing? How was your weekend? Where are you based out of? That is a relationship-based conversation. I know that person's trying to get to know me. And then I open myself up to them too. I say, oh, yeah, I'm down in Fort Lauderdale. And my weekend was great. Thanks. How was yours? I see you're up in, you know, this part of Florida, blah, 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 right? So they want to build that rapport. They want to get to know me. They want to build this relationship. And so by opening myself up to them, they appreciate that so much, right? I seem human to them and they really enjoy it. But if I get on the phone with somebody and I say, hey, hello, this is, I know, Brittany Alexander. I'm the attorney that was referred to you. And they say, oh yeah, hi. I immediately know this person is outcome-based. They do not want to chit-chat. They don't have time today and they're not in the mood. Who knows? Their energy is very outcome-based. And so I match that. I match their approach. If someone says that, I say, okay. And, you know, I'll hop right into my pitch. Boom, boom, boom. Tell them how they can sign up. And then conversation's over. And they appreciate that because that's what they wanted to do. They wanted to get down to the meat and potatoes. They did not want to sit on there and chit-chat. And if you try to force somebody to the opposite of what their energy is, if somebody gets on the phone and they're very relationship-based and you're trying to just get into the outcome of it, you're going to seem like you're brushing them off. You're going to seem kind of like cold, like you don't want to get to know them. And they're not going to like that. That's not really connecting for them. The same with the other end. If you're getting on the phone with somebody who's outcome-based and you're trying to ask them about themselves and how's their weekend and the weather, they're going to be annoyed that you're wasting their time. Figure out what energy, what kind of conversation this is, and tailor your approach. So most people will have like a long kind of pitch that goes into a lot of detail. Maybe, you know, you chit-chat a bit. There's some room to get to know the potential client. And then there are pitches that get right down to it. It's literally an elevator pitch, you know, more like presenting to a board than actually speaking with another person in a kind of conversation. So tailor your approach based on the energy of who you're talking to. Very important. And bonus tip, I think we kind of touched on this in the last one, but tailor your intake call for the person. It's not really one size fits all. You have the general information that you need to have in your pitch to explain why you're different, why they should choose you, how this works. But like I just said, some people are relationship-based, some people are outcome-based, some people want to chat, some people want to get down to it. Some people want the very bare minimum of this is how this works. Some people want to know every detail. Tailor your approach for the person. And after a while, you'll begin to see that maybe you have a handful of different kind of potential clients. You know, maybe it's a lot of families and then you have some single people that you work with. Maybe you have a lot of businesses that you work with and there are a few, you know, corporate people that you work with. And that you notice that one type of potential client over another prefers certain things. They prefer to know more or less. They prefer more detail, less detail. They prefer to chit-chat with you. They prefer to just get right down to it. So kind of test it out. Test out your approach so that you can tailor it for the kind of person that you're going to get on the phone with. It's very, very, very important because if you match their energy, if you're tailoring your approach for that specific person, they're going to feel seen. They're going to feel heard. They're going to feel like you know them. You know what they need. You've done this before. And they're going to say, this is the person that I want to work with. Very important. Finally, tip number 5 for a tactical intake call. And this is probably the most important tip that I could possibly give you. And for some reason, people don't do this. Tip number 5 is to close on the phone. Close on the phone or the Zoom call, whatever you do for your intake calls. Close on the phone. For some reason, a lot of us are scared to ask for the sale. We want to get off the phone and send an email or send a proposal or whatever. This is a problem. This is such a problem. Emails cannot overcome objections. Emails cannot overcome objections. If you don't know for a fact that that person wants to sign up with you when you get off the phone, very slim chance that they actually sign your contract and become a client. Why is that? Because emails cannot overcome objections. People will sit with their thoughts and talk themselves out of hiring you. They'll say, oh, you know, I don't really need to do this right now. Oh, you know, it's kind of expensive. Maybe I'll just try it myself. And you're not there to close them.
You're not there to close them. You need to make sure that you've gone thoroughly through every single objection. And of course, there's going to be people that they have these objections that you just won't be able to overcome. They're just not ready to hire you. They don't want to do it, right? And that's okay. But for the people that do need you, the people that you can overcome their objections and close them, you need to do that on the phone. You need to be there to close them. Close on the phone, get the affirmative answer right then and there. It's not, oh, I'll send you the contract to review. Oh, I'll send you a proposal. Everybody wants to send a proposal. I don't know why we're so embarrassed to ask for the sale, but I mean, selling is not bad. You're just offering your service, your way of serving somebody to this potential client. They can go with it or they cannot. It's their decision. It's your job to sell yourself and explain why they need you, what you offer. It's their job to make a decision, but you can be there to guide them into the decision. And you can do that on the phone. Do that on the intake call. Don't send a proposal. Don't say, oh, I'll send you the contract review and we'll follow up. No. You can follow up if they haven't signed, but you need to get that yes on the phone. The way that I do it is I say, the next step is X. Do you want to move forward? I don't ask them if, you know, oh, do you want me to send you the contract? Of course, if they want to move forward, they want me to send them the contract. So I ask them, do you want to move forward? And if I get kind of a, I don't know, then I ask them, okay, well, what is your concern? What's coming up for you? So that we can address those objections and figure out if they're a right fit for us or not. Do you want to move forward? Yes or no? If someone says yes, I send my contract out as quick as possible. Close on the phone. Most important part might even be more important than your pitch, or as important as your pitch, is to actually close on the phone. Get that affirmative answer, send out your contract, and start moving on that client. Okay, let's recap the 5 top tips for a tactical intake call. Number 1, get positive responses. Naturally, we'll lead them into the positive response when you ask for the close. Number 2, treat it like a sales call. For some reason, we don't like to have a pitch. We don't like to be salesy, but we do need to sell ourselves as professionals to explain why we're different and what we offer. Number 3, craft answers to objections into your pitch. People have the same common objections and questions. Get to them, get to these answers before they even have time to ask. Number 4, match their energy. Every conversation is relationship-based or outcome-based, not the person, the conversation. Figure out which it is and tailor your approach. Number 5, close on the phone. Do not send them a proposal. Do not say, I'll follow up and send you a contract. Get that affirmative answer that they want to move forward on the phone and then send out your contract. If you enjoyed this episode, please take a screenshot, post it to your story. I'm always open to messages for other topics you'd like me to cover. Until next time.